The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Pro football, full circle.
Murray has a moment here and fires. Catch made inside the five. A.J. Green with a Cardinal touchdown.
Russ tries to spin out of trouble. He does. Looks, he throws it near side. Reaching back, making a catch. Swain, touchdown, Seahawks. I don't believe it. Russell Wilson, how did you do that? In huge trouble, spins away from the defender and throws a strike to Freddie Swain in the front corner of the end zone.
The calm before the storm. Big game in Seattle tonight in the NFC West. The Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks, a 2.5-point underdog right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz kicking it around for the next couple of hours. George, a lot of news and developments taking place within the NFL. Jalen Smith does sign with the Green Bay Packers. Stephon Gilmore does sign with the Win Now Carolina Panthers. But there was news out of Cleveland that came through yesterday into today that starting quarterback Baker Mayfield's been playing with a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. He says it's no big deal. The Browns on the road this weekend against Justin Herbert and the LA Chargers, 1-point dogs. But any indication that this is maybe affecting his play? Because entering week number five right now, only 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions for Mayfield, under 1,000 yards on the year.
This shouldn't affect his play. Now, I tore my labrum in my right shoulder, throwing shoulder. It's not an injury you can't do normal things with, right? You really just can't throw. You can't do things overhand. So his non-throwing shoulder shouldn't be a big deal. You know, once the injury happens, it generally, you're okay. It's not much you can do about it. You're going to have the surgery to repair it. But it's not his throwing shoulder. It's not something like, oh, my God, it aches and it hurts all the time. It generally doesn't. Now, it can. His injury could be different. He could have a lot of floating chips from that tear that are getting stuck in certain places that are causing discomfort. That certainly could happen there. But generally, no, I don't think this is a problem for him. He's probably going to want to get it fixed in the offseason. But I don't think this is a problem affecting him now. I don't think that's the reason why he's not putting up big numbers. They're winning games. The only thing we have to remember, the Browns aren't your traditional football. Actually, they are your traditional football team. They're not your football team that plays in today's game. Then they don't want to throw the ball 40, 45 times a game. They don't want to do that. They want to win by playing 80s and 90s football, where you're going to run the ball 30 times. Run the ball with Chubb. Run the ball with Hunt. Establish possession of the football. Kill. Get that clock in your favor. And then kill the game in the second half once you get the lead. I think that's the way they want to play. So Baker Mayfield's been disappointing, sure. He's not playing up to his capabilities, no. But I don't think it's because of his non-throwing shoulder where he tore a labrum, no.
Now, I find this line sort of fishy as they go out west to face L.A. And when you look at the matchup last week on the road in Minnesota, they shut down Kirk Cousins. They received and got quarterback pressures on him. Dalvin Cook was non-existent, Alexander Mattison as well. But now, after the news breaks, they were basically a 1-point underdog for much of the week. And now, after the news of Mayfield, now it inches up to 2, still under the key number of 3 for L.A., I sort of buy into Cleveland here. I mean, I know that they're not throwing the football. They're more of a ground-and-pound type of offense. But going on the road, it just seems like this line should be much higher. And the fact that it's under the key number of 3, I'm starting to buy into the Cleveland Browns in this ballgame.
It's a good game, and it's between two good teams here. Certainly looking forward to seeing this game. Chargers are also on a short week, so that maybe plays into some thinking here as far as where you want to go as far as your gambling play. This is a game that I'll probably just leaving alone. Yeah, it's going to be too good a game to call. Cleveland, like I said, they're not going to play a 34-31 game. Not too often, anyway. Yeah, just not. The Chargers are a really good team. Really good team. I believe now through the first 4 weeks of the season, each team they've played, they've held that team to their lowest point scored total of the season. It lets you know how good they're doing. It's not a coincidence anymore. They're playing that kind of football here. Do I think this the spread's off? If it is, it's what, a point off? Maybe. Maybe it could be plus three here. But it's a good team. Two good teams. I like the charge in this game as well. Once again, at home. If it was on the road, I'd probably feel differently. If I was going to attack this game, it would probably be the over-under 46. I think it's likely to go under that total.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to think that the mentality for Cleveland is to utilize the heavy offensive line, utilize Chubb, utilize Kareem Hunt, wear down the L.A. Chargers front seven, keep Justin Herbert on the sidelines. If they can do that, obviously it's a recipe for a road win. We'll get into that game, obviously, more tomorrow when we break down the Week 5 lines. The game tonight is pretty interesting. Chris Carson might be a game-time decision tonight. Right now, Seattle, a 2.5-point dog, minus 114 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total still high, though, 53.5. Pretty intriguing if they're not going to have Carson. I guess maybe it still bombs away between Stafford and Russell Wilson tonight.
This is sort of a tale of two things. Russell Wilson during primetime has outstanding numbers. You know, never loses, puts up big numbers. But the Rams, in their history against Russell Wilson, have sacked him the most. They've intercepted him the most. So what do we believe here? You know, what's going to go on here? You know, what's it, the irresistible force with the movable object, that sort of thing. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a good game tonight. Looking forward to it.
It's a rematch of last year's playoff game in which the Rams and Cam Akers ran at will on that front seven for Seattle. When we come back, we'll jump right into the Week 5 lines. Jets and Atlanta Falcons, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, breaking down all the Week 5 matchups. Credit to FanDuel. I'm going to come right out and say it. We're going to break down the Atlanta Falcons New York Jet game. They have player props for everything up already on today, and that's a fantastic thing if you're looking to get an edge in terms of breaking down both of these teams. When you look at Zach Wilson, the New York Jets, a quality win over Tennessee as a 6.5-point dog. They get the victory 27-24. Zach Wilson steps up 297 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns. Corey Davis steps up. Now they face the Atlanta Falcons. And this is an intriguing battle, George, in the sense of, you know, if you're Zach Wilson and the New York Jets, you're looking to build a little bit of momentum. If you're Atlanta, you're saying this is a game that we could possibly win. There's no reason why we can't dominate this matchup. We're playing at home. We're a 3-point favorite right now, minus 118 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Jets are plus 3 at minus 104. I think this is a matchup where Matty Ice breaks out. I know Tannehill struggled. Derrick Henry did rush for over 157 yards in that ball game, but they were without Julio Jones and A.J. Brown. I think this is a game that Atlanta does get healthy. They cover this 3-point number this coming weekend.
Atlanta, they broke out last week on offense, right? Did some damage against Washington. Did quite a bit of damage against Washington. Matt Ryan had a really good game.
Just finally, right? Thing.
Yeah, I guess there is, and we probably, you know, you didn't expect it against Washington, right? I guess their defense hasn't played well all season anyway, but you probably didn't really see that kind of game coming where they're going to score, both teams are going to put up over 60 points. Certainly, I didn't see that coming. Anyway, boy, it's the London game. So it's at 9:30 if you want to watch, boys and girls. You got to wake up. Got to wake up early. And I have to admit,
that's great that you get to wake up early. You can get a jump on everything. You can get a jump.
I don't mind it. I wake up early anyway, but I don't mind it. You know, I wake up a little earlier because I like to go to the gym beforehand, come home, and hey, here we go. We got football at 9:30. You can watch the if you like watching the pregame shows, you can watch the pregame shows while watching the game. So you kill two birds with one stone here. Plus, listen, it's not a great football game you have to pay attention to. But I'm with you on the Falcons. But I was getting a little nervous about the games in England. Right, the field generally gets torn up pretty good. You know, it's not generally not a fast track. So I think that's going to hold down the offense somewhat a little bit here. The Jets did beat the Titans. That was great. Good for them. And they beat a team that had no passing game whatsoever. All right, Dan, they made some mistakes there. Atlanta, they'll have something, some kind of passing game. You know, they will. I don't love the Falcons at all in this game, though, to say I'm going to automatically go. I mean, I kind of lead towards the Jets.
The London game is tough. It is very tough. I know I said they're the home team. I knew they were playing in London. But at the end of the day, it is tough because the travel, you don't know. I know Miami played in this game, you know, each and every year, it seems like. And somehow, some way, they always play competitive. The teams with the worst record seem to step up in these type of situations, whereas the better teams sort of play down to the level of competition. Now, in this game, we have two garbage teams for the most part, record-wise. I still lean to the more experienced quarterback, though, in terms of this type of assessment. And this is a game, if you're Arthur Smith and you're the Atlanta Falcons, you say, all right, we broke out last week against a good Washington defense or a good team, per se. We can win this game against the Jets with a rookie quarterback.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure both teams are saying we should win this game. Right? I have no doubt both teams believe they should beat the other. No doubt. Right? I don't think Atlanta is a great team either. They're terrible. So it is what it is. My worry for the Jets is that, you know, can you do it back-to-back weeks, going across one, going angle, losing a practice day? You know, I don't know if that's good for that team. I have faith, hope, that Zach Wilson has figured it out somewhat, right? He started off last game against Tennessee, what was he, 2-for-7 with a pick. And then after that, he finished 19 of 27. So he did play very well after that. He did it against Tennessee, a team that we know has problems on pass defense. The Falcons are really the same. They're not very good on defense either. We saw what Heinicke looked like the second coming of Joe Theismann last week. So we'll see if Zach Wilson could follow this up. And I'm curious to find that out. I was curious to find out, is Kyle Pitts going to come off the back of that milk carton? Are we going to see him do any kind of damage here? I mean, it's tough, Joe. You watch the Falcon games. It's tough to find him. To see, there's Pitts. There's he's doing something. Tight end, as we said it over and over again during preseason, tough for a first-year tight end to do damage in the passing game. There's too much for him to learn between the routes, being the hot read, getting the chemistry with Matt Ryan, and all the blocking responsibilities he has on the line here. Right now, like I said, he's on the back of that milk cart. We've seen little to nothing.
Well, here's what I'm looking at when I break this game down, and I might be going a little contrarian here, but I feel confident in this assessment. I was on Mike Davis week one in terms of his rushing total. It went up. It opened against Philly at 48. They knocked it down to 44.5. He got right on that number of 48. He's basically been non-existent. Both rushing offenses have been non-existent for much of the year. Davis leads this team with about 150 yards on the ground. On the flip side, you have Michael Carter right in the area of about 130 yards that leads the Jets. So no rushing attack for both offenses, right? But going to London, the travel, maybe the offenses are slightly ahead of both defenses here. The fact that the Jets played Derrick Henry, he pounded the rock 33 times, 157. Maybe they're a little tired. Maybe here Mike Davis can eat a little bit. I mean, yeah, to get 45 yards or 44 yards is not asking a lot in this game. They're going to need the rushing attack somewhat. 43.5, I think, is a doable number for him. I like that in terms of his rushing props. They have Davis at 43.5, Cordarrelle Patterson at 26.5, and Carter at 44.5. I like Davis, and I might even lean to Carter. Both running backs might have an opportunity to break out on the ground.
I kind of like where you're going with that. I don't think I agree with you. I know I agree with you. So I'm going to be, like I said, props will be very heavy on this game as well. See if we get a good start to the day, right? Because this game will be over by hopefully around 12:30 Eastern, you know, about a half hour before the 1 o'clock game start, and we'll know where we stand right away. So I'm with you. I think the running games should be productive for both teams here. I think I actually feel better about Carter than I do about Davis. That's
do you?
Hard to say, but yeah, I mean, there is Mosley on the Jets defense who's playing well, so maybe he shuts down the running game somewhat here. But still, I'll have something on Davis as well here. I like the running games of both. My only worry, once again, is always that field. I will check the weather in England. I said I don't even know if it's a dome here that they're playing. I don't know what stadium they're playing at in England. So I'll check, because we know, you know, that stadium gets chewed up. The stadiums in England, it gets chewed up. The weather there is not really all that conducive sometimes to a good, strong grass field there, especially for football, and they chew it up a lot. So that will concern me here. If it's really chewed, it's not going to be able to get, you know, be not going to be able to cut on it without going down, then I might hedge here and not play that prop. But yeah, for now, I'm with you.
I can't believe Cordarrelle Patterson is still on a team. I mean, I know he's productive to a degree, but I mean, this guy's a journeyman. If that's your best option in terms of having a spell for your offense, you got to be kidding me here. I mean, he's basically, his best attribute is as a kickoff returner. I'm not denying that in any capacity. Did it with the Vikings, did it with Chicago. But you're telling me with Atlanta, you can't get a better option for maybe a third down back? You need him in this offense? I mean, it's basically Patterson and Davis and nobody else for that matter. I mean, that's the only concern. If he takes away carries from the guy that you signed from Carolina to be your go-to back, that's a problem for Atlanta right now. That is a major problem if this offense is going to look to get into gear, no?
Well, you can be mad at Davis passing all you want. He's played great. He deserves touches, and he's going to get touches. I mean, he's at least going to split it. He's doing much
better. That's like 100 years old, though.
I don't care.
Frank Gore. Like, I mean,
doesn't
you can't
matter.
Get a younger guy.
Does it? Nobody's doing the damage he's doing. Doesn't matter if he's young. He can be 1,000 years old. He's putting up numbers. He's doing damage there. He's playing very well. Doesn't matter. I don't care how old he is. You got to pay attention to him. You know, he's playing like the best running back there. He's a dual threat.
Yeah,
he's hard to take down. Granted, it's 10 years after we thought he would be, but right now he's doing it.
Yeah, we'll see. I still think you can go with a younger option in terms of that offense. I know he comes on the cheap, and that's why Atlanta signed him. When we come back, we'll be breaking down the other games in week number 5. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through NFL week number 5. Going to take a look at the Carolina Panthers. They got dismantled by the Dallas Cowboys as a 4.5-point favorite. Lost that ball game by 8. Wasn't even close after halftime. Dallas turned it on. Zeke poured it on the rushing attack. Dak Prescott added 4 touchdowns through the air. They do add New England Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore. Matt Rhule, the organization, said they're in win-now mode, baby. It's playoffs or bust for the Carolina Panthers. Rookie cornerback J.C. Horn went down earlier in the year. There was a need in the secondary. Now here comes Jalen Hurts and Philadelphia. They did not cover that game. Lost by 11 to Kansas City last Sunday in Philly. Hurts had a fantastic day, threw for over 330 yards. They go on the road to face Carolina. McCaffrey back at practice, still a little bit banged up, but I got to give the edge to Carolina. The physicality of the offense and defensive lines, George, I think they win this ball game convincingly. I think they grind out a lower scoring game and win this ball game by about 10 points against the Eagles.
You know, I know you and I are going to get a chance to talk about it because I haven't been on with you, but that was a gift they got for New England. You know, I mean, wow, you just get Gilmore for a 6th-round pick? Yeah, I mean, makes me wonder if something's wrong with Gilmore.
Yeah, no, he's obviously had injury concerns.
That's a huge.
That's a huge question, Marsh.
I don't know if it's an injury concern. Depends on what the injury is. Is he over it? Is it more debilitating than we thought it was? That sort of thing. Because again, I mean, this is a guy who was the player, NFL Defensive Player of the Year just 2 years ago, and now he's gone for a sixth round pick, and New England didn't seem to care. It's quiet is why he's on the pup now. So strange, just strange that. I said I can't. There are more teams that want him. So I always basically wonder what's going on here behind the scenes here. He is 31. Maybe that plays a part in it as well here. But I can't believe he went for a sixth-round pick. Good for Carolina for hopping on him. And you think about it for Carolina. You look at it this way. They paid a sixth-round pick for him. If he leaves in the offseason, he can be a free agent and signs with another team. They're likely to get a compensatory pick that's better than a sixth, which is just wild. You know, did this happen? I said, it's just strange to me. So good for them. They acquired Gilmore and C.J. Henderson back-to-back weeks to really help that secondary. The thing I find most funny is that Dallas didn't beat them through the air, at least not through the outside receivers. They beat him more on the ground at the Dalton Schultz of a tight end. So I don't know if Gilmore would have made much of a difference in that game. That being said, Eagles are, you know, we know they're sort of a, are they a mess? I mean, they're not running the ball at all. Dallas beat Carolina by playing smash-mouth football pretty much right at you. Here he goes, stop it. And they mauled them. Eagles aren't that kind of team. Right? I mean, they've abandoned the run the last couple of weeks. Maybe they try and establish it this Sunday. Maybe. But I'm with you here. I like the Panthers in this game. I like them a bunch as well. They may have lost to Dallas, but they somewhat impressed me. I like the way they looked here. They do. They have good defense, good strong. I think a better pass defense than a run defense. But I think they match up well against Philadelphia. I think they will keep Philly in check, and I think they'll do their damage on offense here. So I'm with you, Panthers for me.
Well, when you talk about the Philadelphia rushing attack with Miles Sanders, obviously they fell behind. They had the early lead against Kansas City, but their defense cannot contain Patrick Mahomes. Tyreek Hill, Kelsey broke out. I mean, those playmakers were basically showcased in Lincoln Financial last week. So this is a different offense for Carolina in the sense of they faced the New York Jets week one. Then they faced, I want to say, a one-dimensional offense in New Orleans. As long as they shut down Alvin Kamara, they were able to win that ball game convincingly. And then when they matched up against Dallas, Dallas said, okay, we're going to run it, but we know we have the more physical offensive line. We can wear down your defensive front, and that's what we're going to try and do in this ball game. I don't know if Philly's going to take that approach because it is a more of a finesse type of offense. It is a spread you out type of offense, and as the passing game goes, for the most part, the running game goes. So if you have success early on with Hurts, challenging Carolina over the top, that can open up running lanes for Miles Sanders, especially if Jalen Hurts utilizes his mobility. Now, I think he had around 38, 39 yards last week. His total in that game in terms of a rushing prop was right in the area of about 51, 52. He did not surpass that. I think he's going to have to do that this week to get the victory on the road. I don't know if Carolina jumps up early if this offense can go toe-to-toe with that defense. That is my concern because they are more physical at the point of attack, which would lead to quarterback pressures and then long third down situations and then just throw Miles Sanders outside in terms of that assessment. He's not going to have a big play in the running game.
Yeah, I would agree. I do wonder this week, as far as the Eagles are concerned, do we see more Gainwell in the short passing game out of the backfield? He's fast. Yeah. He is fast. We'll see if they're going to do that. I think they'll at least try to establish a running game. I do think they'll try because, let's face it, it's been invisible the last 2 weeks. They haven't even bothered. But I also wonder if that was because they played the Cowboys, played the Chiefs. And they're thinking, we got to score points. The running game is useless. We got to score points. We got to put the ball in the air. You know, that sort of thing. So we'll see here. Interesting game. And the Eagles, by the way, life's not going to get much easier. After this game, they play the Thursday night game against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's not going to be easy. We know that. And Tampa Bay's a little bit beat up in the secondary. We saw Mac Jones abuse them. I don't think Miami's going to do that in any capacity this weekend. That'll be the next game that we cover. But I do want to talk about the wide receivers a bit. I feel like Sam Darnold is locked in solely with DJ Moore. You know, he does throw the ball occasionally to Robbie Anderson, but if he's going to take the next step moving forward now that they're 3-1, I need to see
you know, more from the wide receivers. Outside of DJ Moore, he can't just lock in on him 15 times a game. They're not going to win games. He needs to spread the football around. Now, I understand part of that might have been due to Christian McCaffrey's injury, but then you got to get in Hubbard involved in the short to intermediate passing game. You got to utilize your tight end. I didn't see that last week out of Sam Darnold in terms of his reads and progressions.
Well, they don't have a tight end. They traded him away. Right?
Well, you still have to have a tight end in terms of somewhat. You could utilize a hybrid tight end in terms of a five-wide type of scheme. You don't need a guy that's more of a blocker like Gronk, but you got to utilize some other wide receivers outside of DJ Moore. You can't throw to him and target him 20 times a game.
Well, I agree with you. If you don't have a tight end, a passing catching tight end, you don't have one. You're not going to change a scheme around in a week and go, oh, now we got rid of it. Oh, we'll do this. Doesn't work like that. So they traded Dan. And Dan Arnold, by the way, is not a great pass-catching tight end either. But you traded that away. All right. So and it was when you wanted the cornerback, so you traded it away. So a tight end is going to be pretty much a black hole for them all season long. I know they like the youngster they have there. But, you know, Dallas generally not very good covering tight ends. And he was an afterthought. Now, maybe it is because that's all Darnold. You're right. All Darnold is looking for is DJ Moore. He has eyes for more, which I don't mind, by the way, but you do have to get somebody else involved. Sooner or later, teams are going to take more away and go, all right, throw somebody else, anybody else. You know, and Robbie Anderson, we thought would be that guy because he played with Darnold in the past, but he did get more looks against Dallas than earlier this season, but that was because they were passing every down. They had no choice. They were behind after a while. So it's concerning somewhat about what's going on here. Terrace Marshall, I mean, really, he was back of a milk carton that Dallas game. They didn't use him much at all here. It was all DJ Moore a bust. I do think now that Christian McCaffrey has a pretty good chance to play, we think, on Sunday. Maybe they do hold him out one more week. It's a game time decision. But if he gets back in there, I think the offense will get back to the way it was. But it wasn't like when Christian McCaffrey was healthy, Anderson was getting a ton of looks. He wasn't. Marshall was getting more play, and maybe it goes back to that. But Robbie Anderson seems to be going the way of Robert Woods on the Rams. They're just not a big part of the game plan right now, and they're not even the second choice, or in this or Carolina's case, the third choice for the starting quarterback. We know it's DJ Moore, McCaffrey, and that's not Anderson. It seems to be Marshall is next in order.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the targets right now. DJ Moore, 43 targets. Christian McCaffrey, 17. Robbie Anderson, 22. Marshall, 17. Arnold, that to your point, has got 11, but they do have Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame on there. They do have Thomas, another tight end, that has seven targets on the year. I mean, you got to utilize these guys. I mean, at the end of the day, when you become one-dimensional and locked in on one particular wide receiver, you're not Aaron Rodgers. This isn't the Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams type of relationship. I mean, this is a team that's fighting for a playoff win or a playoff berth, per se. You're 3-1 overall. You don't want to fall back, drop this game to the Eagles, and then drop another game, and then you're staring 500 in the face. Your best player goes off the field a couple of weeks ago. You got to implement those younger players into the offense. I mean, that's the biggest thing that you need and I need to see from Sam Darnold, if he has turned the corner. It's great in terms of his first 3 weeks in terms of those wins, but now as the schedule gets a little more difficult, we're going to need him to actually progress and go check down in terms of those type of situations. So we'll see if he can do it. I lean to the under here. I mean, I could see Jalen Hurts blowing up in this ball game just because it's Jalen Hurts and he's playing with house money right now. I still like Carolina, but I think they grind it out. I think this is 45-46 is the total. I'd say like 28-14. I think they get a 14-point win over the Eagles today this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you on the total. I'm going the over here.
You're going over?
I think Carolina are about right. But they're not holding the Eagles to 14 points. All right? The Eagles are going to score more than 2 touchdowns. So as long as I get that, I got my over. Over's 45. So, yeah. Give me the – I like Carolina. This Carolina probably one of my favorite bets this week. And,
is it?
I'm going to take the over. Yeah, I think they're that much better team. And give me the over as well.
All right. We'll see how that plays out. When we come back, we'll be talking about Tampa Bay and Miami. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 204, coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Over Bill Belichick. Now Miami comes to town. Intrastate battle. This line was about 10.5. Earlier in the week on FanDuel, right now a flat 10 in favor of Tampa Bay at home, minus 105 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. You want to take a shot on Jacoby Brissett, that inept Miami offense right now, plus 10 at minus 115. Total set at 48 and a hook. Juice to the under at minus 115. Miami was pathetic. I thought they would abuse Carson Wentz. Jonathan Taylor broke out. Big day. Jacoby Brissett, horrible. Why he opened his mouth, I'll never know. Why he should have been a starting quarterback. He's lucky if he could play in the XFL right now the way he's been playing. They got rid of Jakeem Grant, which I actually liked. I thought he was a pocket rocket, never utilized correctly in terms of Miami's scheme. I understand he had some problems with punts. That's okay. He was a Tyreek Hill type of player. We'll see how he fares with Chicago. I would take Miami here. As much as I do not like the way they're playing, and I know Tom Brady is probably going to light them up, I would still take Miami in terms of this type of battle. I think Miami could step up, make it a close game. I don't know if they win, obviously, but 10 points in the NFL is way too much with that defense on the road. Give me the fish plus the points in this battle.
Yeah, I agree with you here. I agree. There are a couple of worries here. One, let's start with Miami. Can they attack Tampa Bay's weakness? Yeah, we talked about Gilmore earlier. I thought Gilmore would go to Tampa Bay, that Tampa Bay would find a way to get him on the roster. You know, start redoing some contracts there. They're in deep, deep trouble at cornerback here. You know, I don't know how much of a joke it was. I actually don't think it was a joke. I think they were one more injury at cornerback Sunday night from having Ronald Jones having to go back there. That's how short they were. Yeah, this team's in a lot of trouble at cornerback. They don't have much left. Everyone's getting hurt, and they were sort of weak at there to begin with. Right? And now I think we heard Arian say Carlton Davis. Don't know when he's returning. You know, he's going to be out a while. I mean, you're starting cornerbacks right now. Richard Sherman, who was terrible Sunday night. Now, granted, he had just signed. He will get better, but he'll never be the Richard Sherman of old. I guess Ross Cockrell is back there, you know, Dee Delaney, Pierre Desir. I mean, they've got some issues. They've got some problems back there. The question is, can Miami take advantage of it? Will Fuller just went on IR, so he lost that guy. All right, I mean, Devontae Parker, okay, let's see what you can do here. You know, Waddle, let's see what you can do, because they're going to have to throw the ball. You know, I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball. Their run game is questionable as it is. You know, questionable to bad as it is. So can they take advantage of it? Can Brissett take advantage of it? And I 100% agree with you that Brissett, you really open your mouth after one game you came in, you got destroyed. You didn't even play very well. And then you say, oh, I should be a starting quarterback. Yeah, sure you should. Well, if you think you should, you better do some damage this game. And I also wonder about the Tampa Bay offense as well. Was it just the New England game, Joe? Or is losing Gronk a much bigger loss than we expected? Because he didn't look good. I know it was raining. It was a rotten night. But Mac Jones had no problem throwing the football. You know, Brady was definitely off that night. So I'm looking for a couple of things this game. But I agree with you. I think Miami loses the game. But I think they keep it within 10.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me about the Dolphins. I need to see Devontae Parker step up. 17 receptions, not going to get it done for 242 yards. I mean, Jaylen Waddle has 25 receptions, 200 yards. The problem is that everything is short to intermediate with him. Could we get him exposed over the top of opposing defenses? Can we put him on a fly pattern and just throw the ball 60 yards in the air? I mean, at the end of the day, that's why you got this guy. You didn't pick him up to run 8 and 10 yard hitch routes. I mean, that's the problem in terms of utilizing the type of personnel that you have. Now, granted, I understand Tua's hurt, but you're Jacoby Brissett. You're an NFL quarterback. You have to throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field. Everything can't be a check down with you. And that's the problem with Miami's offense. There's no threat of a rushing attack. Ahmed and Gaskins are mediocre at best. The offensive line cannot run block. It seems like that's the problem with Miami since the days of Dan Marino and even go further with David Woodley and Don Strzok. I mean, it's amazing how this team can't consistently get a 1,000-yard rusher and the threat of a rushing game. Outside of Ricky Williams, we really haven't had a lethal running back. It's amazing. Bernie Parmalee, I'll go down the list. It's amazing in terms of the talent that we recruit in South Beach. It really is. That being said, George, if I'm Miami, I know I need to score points here. I got to open it up. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be able to run on us the way a lot of people think. This is a different offense in terms of a physicality than maybe what Indianapolis had in Jonathan Taylor. I think we could be in this ballgame, but we're going to have to score some points. I favor Miami's team total maybe here in this matchup, believe it or not. That might be another way to go on top of taking Miami plus the 10 points in this ballgame.
I would agree. I think Miami will score some points. You're so right about the run game. I mean, this goes through
it's
the
horrible.
Decades here.
Yeah, they it's just horrible.
We talked about it during the offseason about how they don't believe in Gil. It's the one position they didn't seem to upgrade or even bother with, right?
But if you don't have that, let me ask you something. In your point, if you're not going to take that approach, then you have to have a five-wide type of offense like Kansas City, which they don't either. That's the problem.
Well, you signed Fuller, you drafted Waddle. You're at least trying there. All right, you're trying to get that passing offense. I mean, listen, you can make an argument that, you know, Miami was a good, solid team, but they're not going to compete with the Buffalo Bills in that division. They're not there yet. The defense hasn't played quite up to par from last season, but still it's been solid. But this season really was about Tua again, to, you know, get him comfortable, get him to be the franchise guy, because I don't think they're sure about that he's the guy. They're not. There's so many question marks about him. Most are unfair. You know, we've told him so many times. You know, he didn't get the mini camps last year. Training camp was truncated. He had the injury. You know, it was COVID. So this is really, in some ways, his true rookie season with getting everything out of the way here. They have surrounded him with some weapons, but the offensive line still needs work. The running game needs a lot of work. We know that. So it's sort of a work in progress here. I just don't know if they'll give it to him. Now he'll miss three games. He should be back next week, it looks like. I don't know what's going to happen with Tua. He may not be I wonder this. That even if he is a true NFL quarterback, a true NFL starting quarterback, it may not be with Miami. Because I don't think they're going to be patient. It's not going to, you know, if they don't get a pure answer by the end of this year, I think they will be one of those teams that's definitely in on Deshaun Watson.
Give it to me. As long as the off-the-field issues are gone with Deshaun, I'm in 150%. I ship half the team for Deshaun Watson knowing that he was fine in terms of his legal issues. Miami's team total on FanDuel, 19. You're telling me you can't get 19 points? New England got 17. You got to get 19 in order to cover this line. Minus 110 either way, they got to start fast. I'm telling you this right now. Jacoby Brissett, just play the game. If you want to be a starting quarterback, you have to perform. I mean, it's ridiculous now. I mean, they're going to, because you know Tom Brady's going to at least get 24, 28, right? So could we get 20, 28? If they score 8, we got to get 18, 19. That's right on the number. I think they can get there. I think they get to 20. But can you hold that offense to 30? Yeah, you could do that, I think. I think they shut down Fournette. They shut down Ronald Jones. That'll put touchdown Tom into predictable third downs, and you have a shot to at least contain them for field goals instead of touchdowns.
Well, they'll have to, right? They'll have to do that. I think I think this game to me has a feeling of somewhere around 31-20. I think Miami can get
then, the 20. Then they're not covering 31-20.
Oh, 30, whatever. Give me 23 then. 31-23. Something along those lines here. I think we might need a late touchdown, a garbage time touchdown. I'll take it. I don't care how I cover. I'll take the late time touchdown, something like that. Like I said, I think Tampa Bay wins the game. I don't think they roll up and down the field. I think it's in some ways one of those games where we know Tampa's going to win the whole time. They've won the game, but they're not running smoothly. I think without Gronk, they're not going to run smoothly. And Miami, in some ways, they had the secondary to at least slow them down. You mentioned Byron Jones, of course, the ex-Cowboy. Still hurts. The question is, what I worry about is Brissett making mistakes. Of course, they're going to be predictable. Is he going to take those sacks he shouldn't be taking? I don't know if he'll get picked off because, once again, there's no secondary there. But I think once they're going to attack it, they have no choice. They have no choice but to throw the ball into the secondary because that's the only way you can beat Tampa Bay. You're not going to beat them by running the ball. Nobody, even the teams with good running games, can't beat them. So I think there'll be a lot of passes in the air here. And I'll be very curious. I haven't looked it up yet, but I want to see what Brissett's pass attempts are and completions for that matter.
Yeah, it's not up on FanDuel yet. It's not up.
Those are two pops I'll be looking at on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see. George thinks Miami can get over their total. I think so as well. 19 at minus 110. I like Miami plus the 10 points in this ball game. The fishiest line of the weekend, and you could call me crazy, Tennessee back-to-back road games, 4.5 minus 112 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. This line was 4 yesterday. Now it's 4.5 because Urban Meyer's personal life might be in disarray. He's sorry. I can do it. You can't. All Urban does is coach them up. I told Holden yesterday, this is my best bet of the weekend, and they keep juicing it up there. That's fine. I'm taking Jacksonville plus the 172 on the money line. I think they win this ball game outright. Somehow, some way, I think this is going to be the upset of the week.
Are you the president of the Urban fan club here? Man, you've been on them all. You won't give up on this team, on him.
They got me a cover, too. They got me a cover in Cincy and almost won the game. I'll take that. Plus 7.5, almost won the ball game outright.
I like to see what the prop is and when Irby gets fired, because that's coming sooner or later. Doesn't fly back home with the team. I don't know if I've ever heard of that before with a coach here. That being said, I don't really dislike this. I don't know if I think they're going to win the game outright, but I'm not touching Tennessee. No, thank you. You just lost to the Jets. Okay, and that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, but wait a second. That line opened up at 7.5. It went down to 6 because no A.J. Brown, no Julio Jones.
You lost.
So there was no...
You did not cover. You lost the game.
Though.
I don't care. You lost the game. It's the Jets.
All right. All right.
You can't lose that game. I'm sorry. You got Derrick Henry. You got Tannehill. We all play up here, and you lose the game? No. That can't happen. As far as those two receivers you're talking about, we don't know for sure. It's only Thursday. So they'll have two more practices yet. A.J. Brown looks like he will play. He looks like he is back. He practiced in some fashion yesterday. Julio Jones did not. So we'll see how that's going to work out.
Bust. Biggest bust of the offseason. Julio Jones. He might play 5 games this year if you're lucky.
And that's not a show. Because he's always that guy, always has the Q next to his name, right? Always has the questionable. Toe injury, this injury, that injury. He was a gamble. And they gambled on it. And I'm not going to say he's a bust now. Right now, yeah, you're right. He probably is the biggest bust of the offseason. I'm sure there are other guys we forgot about. But we'll see. We're only 4 games in. Even if he misses this week, he's still got 2/3 of the season, a little more than that left. We'll see if he can make an impact here. But right now, it ain't working out how they plan. And this division, we make fun of the Colts. They might lose again and still not be out of it.
Wow, if that were to happen, it would be an amazing story for Frank Reich and Carson Wentz resurrecting midseason after an 0-3 start. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we usually end with a week one line, but because George brought up Indianapolis not being out of the race, we'll bring up Jacksonville and Indianapolis current win totals on FanDuel. Now, Indianapolis for much of the offseason was 8.5. Right now on FanDuel, 7.5 minus 140. Jacksonville, that was sitting at 6.5 with Urban Meyer, is now 3.5 plus 115 to the over, George. Can I entice you on either one of those teams right here, right now, entering week five?
Certainly not Jacksonville. No. I mean, it's the AFC South is really what the NFC East was last year. Think about it. Your division leader right now is Tennessee at 2-2, Houston 1-3, Indianapolis 1-3, Jacksonville 0-4. I mean, we both think there's a chance that Jacksonville wins this week. I think they might cover and lose, but think about that. They win this week, they'll be 1-4, a game out of first place.
Well, I tell you what, I like them plus 115 over 3.5. You're getting a 3-game discount from the preseason because they're right now 0-4. I'll take that.
I already have them well under the 6.5. That was an easy bet during the offseason. Might have been one of my favorite bets. There's a couple of teams.
Get a middle. Crazy. You should get a middle and buy it over.
I don't know. If anything, I would double down on it. I'm thinking Jets. Another team I have well under their win total here. That being said, Jaguars are sort of a mess. I mean, they're sort of a mess with what's going on here. All right, so I don't know if they're going to also play bad. I don't know what happens this week with this team. As soon as you hear players behind the scenes going, they have no respect for the head coach, that's not good. All right, I'm surprised in some ways he didn't get fired already. You know, I guess you give him one more chance, and I'm sure Rashad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, does not want to pay his contract out. So it's going to be a situation to watch here, but I have a hard time seeing Meyer make it through the end of the season.
We'll see. I think they step up and get a W for Coach Urban. He's one of us. We'll be here all week for George Kurtz and our great producer, Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.